Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into Kingdom Pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Oh, we are having so much fun out at the sweetest car show ever today in Douglasfield, Georgia, in Sweetwater Baptist Church. As we continue on in the Kingdom Pursuits, we find people who've taken their passion for cars, and they're using that to build the kingdom. I mean, how fun is that? And not to mention this church and how they use that to build the kingdom, but I think you're going to be really interested. Our first guest, Jerry and Kim, hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
It's so good to have you guys here. What a beautiful day for a car show, by the way.
Isn't it, though? Just a little breeze.
But, Jerry, apparently your brother had a brain tumor, and that led to some situations that God used, really, to change your life in a way.
It did.
Obviously, in a lot of ways. I mean, that's kind of an understatement.
Well, he did. He had a brain tumor when he was 17, and it was in the pituitary gland, which is like right behind your sinus cavities between your eyes, and was a very difficult operation, other than the fact that not long before he was diagnosed, a doctor here in Atlanta had perfected a technique that was minimal. So most people pass after a year or two from this kind of brain tumor, but this new surgery made that go a lot longer. Problem was, my brother became very bitter and could not understand why God did this to him. And we spent decades talking about this, unfortunately, but what he could not understand is the blessing that was given to him. He didn't die in 2 years. He lived until he was in his 50s before he finally passed away. And I kept trying to tell him the whole time, and he said, well, God, you know, God wouldn't let this happen to me. And I said, you don't know that. God does a lot of things for a lot of reasons. And, you know, a lot of times we won't know why until we get to heaven.
And so, Kim, you're the sister-in-law. And how, when you met his brother, had he already been through this process of most of it?
Oh, yeah, he had. And he was very, you know, it was bitter. He said he believed in the five senses, which is hard to understand. I didn't understand the personality differences between him and Jerry, but I had to accept him for the way he was.
And so, but how old was he, would you guess, when you met him?
Well, Jerry and I have been together, this year will be 20 years. So he's been gone about 15 years. About 15 years, so.
And so would you say he was still bitter when you met him?
Oh, yeah, he was. Definitely. Definitely. And not having a pituitary gland messed with his emotions. So, you know, he would just, you know, have it. You'd be talking to him, and somebody would say something, and he'd get upset and leave. You know, and that's the health that he was in. But, you know, over the years, watching him deteriorate was what was so hard.
But the car part came, and the end of the story is I never quit, and he was finally saved. Yeah. So God took hold of him one night, and he called crying, and he accepted the Lord as a Savior. So there was a good ending to it.
So how long ago was that?
About five years ago.
So shortly before he died.
Yes. Yeah, it was it was probably about a year before he died. He finally called me. It was just God got hold of him. And I think the big mistake he made for me was when my grandmother died, we were moving her stuff down there, and he wound up in a U-Haul van with me for 10 hours. And guess what we talked about? So
that wasn't a mistake.
That
counts as a divine appointment.
Absolutely.
So that you got to move in the U-Haul, and so, you know, how amazing was that conversation when he called, to have your brother call you. You know, it's one thing to lead somebody else to Christ, but to have your brother call you with that moment, I mean, oh my goodness.
Oh, it was.
So can you tell us about that conversation?
I had been talking to him. I've been preaching the gospel to him for years. And he called crying. And I told him, I said, well, talk to me. And he said, I'm just ready for it all to be over. I said, you're feeling this because this is where God's put you. And I said, do you, I said, I know you've been reading the Bible. I gave him a Bible. I said, I know you've been reading the Bible. And I know you believed that there was God and all that before this happened to you. I said, but, you know, Jesus is here. He can help you with this. And he finally said he believed that Jesus was Savior. And I told him, you know, you're a sinner. I said, that's not why this is happening. I said, it may be why you're, we don't know why this is happening to you. I said, but all of us are sinners. And he finally said, I believe, right there on the phone that night. And the emotions for me were relief, were joy. I mean, there were so many different emotions that hit at that same time because, you know, what I've been talking to him, finally, you know, God finally let that work. And I saw that. And sometimes we plant a seed, we never get to see it blossom.
Right.
And for me, I got to see it blossom. So it was wonderful. Of course, the good thing for me was he was the last person in my family to be saved. Everybody else was already saved. So my whole family is going to be in heaven now.
Well, Kim, you were on the did you realize that he was talking to him that night, or did you find out later?
I found out later. So, yeah, it was a relief to know that, you know, we're going to see him again. You know, he died young, but we'll be seeing him again.
Did you see a change in him after that process where he was a little less bitter, or?
I believe so. He never came out of a shell so much because he in his head he kind of got stuck in a time period with all this. He had a hard time, and truthfully, a lot of it was self-inflicted. He had a hard time dealing with other people, but that's because his social skills, you know, because he reclused.
Right.
But he was more relaxed, he seemed, and when it was time for him to, he died, I mean, kind of unexpectedly, but I could see that he was ready and he could accept it then. The bitterness was gone.
So was that something that happened, his death, fairly quickly from a standpoint of you didn't know it and one day they called you and said he was gone?
Well,
or were you able to visit him in the hospital there?
No, he would he would go sometimes spells without calling. He lived close to my mom and dad, without calling. And they'd wait about 5 days and finally go over there and check on him. Now, well, they were up visiting us, and we live here, of course, in the Atlanta area. And he hadn't called, and of course, being here, they couldn't go over there, so they called. Well, no answer. So they finally called the sheriff, and the sheriff went over there and found him. He had died in his bed, so he died in his sleep. So it was sad for Mom. She, you know, I was glad because they did not find him because he'd been dead for a couple days. So I was happy that they didn't find him, but she was always kind of upset. She still is. She thought she could be there. So, Mom, it wouldn't have made any difference. When God's time for you to go, none of us can stop it. So,
yeah. Yeah, I know. I lost my father about a month ago, and he kind of, that morning as I left the house, you know, we were his caregivers, my wife and I, who was behind me. And as I left the house that day, he couldn't talk because he dehydrated to the point his jaw had locked. But he gave me this look in his eyes like, don't leave. Mm-hmm. And I actually said to him, I said, Dad, it's okay. I'm going to be back. And I'm going to be back for lunch. I'll be back in an hour. But, on my way back home for lunch, my wife called me to tell me that he was gone.
Oh, goodness.
And, you know, I've regretted that, you know, gee, I shouldn't, but, you know.
You don't know.
Right. It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so God knew.
Yeah, God knows. Yeah.
And he's working through that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I know there's a car story in here somewhere.
Well, okay, so my brother, because of this, had restrictions. And he loved to ride a motorcycle. Doc said no more motorcycles, you know. And so things like that he tried to do all his life, my mom and dad said, no, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. And then, of course, he passes away before they do. You know, none of us want to see our kids pass away before we do.
All right, we're going to get to the car story when we come back, so. We still have three more segments of Kingdom Pursuits live today from Sweetwater Baptist Church, the sweetest car show ever. And we have got more. We're going to find out the story behind the car. This is not just any ordinary car, and his parents and all that goes on to that. So stay tuned. So much more coming up on Kingdom Pursuits. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today we are live from the sweetest car show ever here at the Sweetwater Baptist Church in Douglasville, Georgia, where, again, it's interesting that they've taken their passion for cars and used it to build the kingdom. And they've been doing this for a number of years, and it's really an amazing event, a way to share the gospel with these people that have a passion about cars. But when we left our hero, Jerry, he had lost his brother, and this was a lesson for his parents, apparently, that led to a car situation. So to get to that, Jerry.
It did. So one of the things the doctor said with my brother with his situation was he couldn't ride his motorcycle anymore. They were afraid of him bumping his head and making things worse. So, and, of course, Mom and Dad threw his whole life hounded on that. You know, you can't do that, can't do that. And
so course, was that something when he was 17? I mean, when he was really young on the motorcycle, they wouldn't let him ride it?
Yeah, I mean, well, he loved to ride his motorcycles, and the doctor said, can't do that anymore. And so they wouldn't let him through his whole life. And towards the end, he wanted one of those three-wheel motorcycles. You know, he wouldn't fall over. No, it wouldn't do that. Well, when he passed, my dad said, boy, I wish I'd let him just do that. And he'd had some fun in his life. And so a little bit after that, well, part of journeying towards the end there, of course, again, we didn't know he was going to pass. I was looking for a car. I'd had a Mustang when I was younger, and I wanted another one. And I was looking at some, and he was helping me. And I said, what about this? What about this one? He said, why don't you just buy a new one this time and not have to work on it? And I said, well, that's a thought, you know. And I was looking at the Mustang I have is a Roush. And it's Roush Industries, Jack Roush, the racing
Yeah, this person. Is no for those who don't know that much about Mustangs, or even a lot of people know a lot about Mustangs may not know about this Roush Mustang, but I'm, oh my goodness, you have to see this thing to appreciate it. And how many horsepower?
It's pushing 700 horsepower. So,
and I don't know how many of you out there have ever driven a car with 700. Kim, have you driven this car?
Oh yeah.
With 700 horsepower?
It's a lot of car.
Have you ever really gone to see what it would actually do with your foot?
No. I call it a beast. It's a lot of car.
It is. They're scary fast. You got to be real careful.
Have you ever just had to know and just put it down?
I've put it up there a couple times. But you got to do it in the right places. You know, it's not.
I'll never forget when I was worked for Buick, Galloway Buick, and they'd come out with this car that was called the GSX.
Yep, I remember that.
And as I recall, it was 750 horsepower. And they built 500 of them for the FBI, and they built 500 of them that were production cars. And we got one of them. And I was supposed to transport over to the state fair, which was, the grounds were not far from where we were. And I started down the road, and I went, I just have to know.
Yeah,
I just have to know. And I stepped up, and oh my goodness. I mean, yeah, I can see why you call it a beast, because this car is 700 horsepower. It's a lot of horsepower.
It is a lot of horsepower.
And especially, you have all those tires on there to try to get it to the ground, but imagine it still lights them up.
It does. And the funny thing is it's a manual transmission, and even when you're just casually driving and you kind of step on it when you're changing gears, it'll still get a little loose. You just got to be careful. I've put it in fourth gear and put it down, and it broke the tires loose. And wow, this is just, that's like I said, it's scary.
So anyway, you were looking at Mustangs. Where did we get to this story?
Yeah, we're looking at Mustangs, and we'd seen this Mustang.
Where was it, by the way? You don't find a Roush Mustang around every corner.
No, you don't. And so my dad has an old 55 Thunderbird, and we had gone to a show up in Des Moines, Iowa, after my brother passed away. And my brother was buried in Indiana. And coming back from the show, I was looking at the map, said, you know, Dad, it wouldn't be that far to go over and see Greg on the way home. And he said, yeah, I was thinking about that, too. And we stopped in Indianapolis, which just happened to have the world's number one Roush dealer. And here's the weird thing. We pulled into this hotel. We checked in. And Dad said, well, why don't we see if we can find that dealer and just go look at the Roushes? And so I pulled it up, and it was like a mile away from us. We had no clue. And I said, oh, wow. So we went and we looked, and the place wasn't open, but we walked and looked at all of them and kind of liked them. And we came on home, and I jumped online about a week or so later, and this new one was there. And a gray car with had these orange stripes on it. I said, well, I like that. And called it, hey, look at that one. He looked at it and really didn't give it much more thought. And then, I don't know, a couple weeks later, she comes in. She says, you got a next-air letter from the dealership. And I went, I didn't order anything from them. And I opened it up, and it was a warranty, extended warranty for a car. I'm like, I even gave him my name. How did this even do? And I started, wait a minute. I started looking at it. I went online and looked at that car, and the VIN numbers were the same. And I called my dad, said, what'd you do? And he says, what? And I said, I got a warranty, extended warranty for a car, the one we've been looking at. He says, oh, they weren't supposed to send that to you. So he had bought this car, and it was on its way down. And he was going to surprise me and meet the day the car got here. And so he bought the car. And the whole point behind the car is he felt bad because he wouldn't let my brother do this stuff. So he wanted me to be able to do these things. So I enjoy it as much as I can. I drive it. It's not a garage
car. In your own way, you get to drive it for your brother, right?
And I do. And, we remember him. And so I try to, for my dad and my mom, they bought the car. And so I try to enjoy it. And I've gone down there to several shows. So our cars are side by side.
Take us back to that moment, just when, because they don't deliver these cars on the normal car carrier.
No. So the guy calls. It's on a hauler and it's closed in. He calls and I said, "Hey, look, I live on a hill. They were coming to my house." And I said, "I live on a hill. It'd be really hard for you to park. Why don't we meet you? There's a couple shopping centers." And we picked one and we got behind the shopping center.
Were you there, Kim?
I was there.
Well, we got the pictures of it. And, he opened up the back door and the ramp and all this stuff and got in there and started that car up. And I went, uh-oh, this is not street legal. Well, it was because it was inside the trailer. It is a loud car, but it was inside the trailer just echoing everywhere. And I said, I'm getting a ticket. But we have driven it, and we drive it as much as we can. It unfortunately was not, because of where I work, wasn't a car to go to work in. But any other chance we get, we'll go up in the mountains, go see her folks, go down to my folks, and then they do. He's older now. He's 87 years old, so he doesn't get to drive as much as he used to. But they have some shows around down there. And
has he driven the car?
He's driven it once. But he's kind of funny about that. He's got a 55 Thunderbird that he shows, and he doesn't like anybody to drive his car, so he won't drive there. So. But he did once. He was shocked. He got in it, went through, and he got into third gear and looked down, and we were doing 80. He went, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but that had to be so cool.
Yeah, it was.
And so did you sense God smiling? I'm just curious.
I'm going to tell you something. My whole life, God has blessed me. I mean, I could sit here for hours and tell you the number of times God has blessed me with my job, with my wonderful wife, my life, this church. I mean, there's and just little events, where I could see God taking care of me. And the car, it's any to me, anything I have came from God. It's all His. He just lets me be custodian of it. So.
I saw that 57 wagon a minute. I was going to see if it was a Nomad. It doesn't appear to
be. I don't think so.
It's a Bel Air, but I was like, oh, my goodness, is that what I think that it is? It was backing in. I'm like, wow, that somebody's got a project there, but it's a, I'm sitting here looking at all these cars.
There's a lot of them.
And it's a blessing just to see. This is your biggest out. I remember ever seeing this many cars here before, so you guys have had a wonderful.
We did. We included the motorcycles this year, so this first year we've had the motorcycles.
So we got race cars and old cars and
new cars.
New cars. And what year is the Roush?
Ours is 2014, so it's kind of not new anymore. It's 5 years ago, but we've got some 40s. Six, I think, Mercury over here. And
it's a 41.
It's a 41.
Yes,
okay.
It is.
Okay. So 41. So we got some old ones and we got some new ones. So, something for everybody.
And so how long have you guys been going to Sweetwater?
October will be 3 years.
Oh. Yeah.
See, I knew Miss Lori from middle school. She's a year older than me.
Oh, really?
We got to started going to church with them at two other churches. And
Miss Lori, for those who are listening, is the pastor's wife.
Right. So we had through, you know, they were in Alabama, and then through some circumstances, we had gotten out of church for several years and thought about, okay, maybe it was time to go back.
He was a car salesman.
He was.
The pastor here, just to let you know, you know, not that there's any.
He was, but then they moved. He got the call in, and he moved to Alabama for 15 years. And I saw on Facebook where he said he was coming back to Douglasville. So I reached out and said, where? And he told us. And I told Jerry, I said, well, guess where? We're going to church next Sunday. So we knew we were going to be on vacation for our anniversary, and then the following week we were here, and he was ready to join the first day. And I'm like, let's just hold off just a little, just to make sure. The next Sunday we joined.
Yeah, Pastor Darrell is one that when once he got bit, he was on fire from the get-go.
Okay.
And like Kim said, he was gone for 15 years in Alabama. That's where the Lord sent him. And he came back, and we were curious, does he still have that fire? Well, he still had the fire. Plus, he had grown, biblically. He knew the Bible a lot better. He'd grown there. So God put him here. He's done some great things here. God's done some great things here through Pastor Darrell.
You guys had the most baptisms in your area. I forget what they call it, the Baptist convention that you guys are in.
Yeah.
And to see the events and understand that, everything I've been involved in here, it's all about Christ. So we got so much more coming from the Sweetwater Baptist Car Show going on today in Douglasville, Georgia, where they take their passion, interestingly, for cars and use that to build the kingdom. We got so much more coming up.
Just saying.
People be calling me paper.
Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today we are live from the Sweetwater Baptist Church, Sweet Car Show.
Sweet.
And you're going to be so glad you tuned into this segment. I'm just telling you, because we are loaded with Elvis. Elvis is in the building.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
He is definitely in the building. He is here. Anthony Ergus. Yeah. He may sound Greek, but he's got the Elvis thing going on. And God has given him a very unique passion, a passion for Elvis. And actually, you impersonate Elvis all over the world, all over the country. And Las Vegas, he's actually from Las Vegas, so you've been there many times.
Yes, sir.
And
just to clarify one thing, I'm a tribute artist. I'm singer, songwriter, entertainer. Thank you very much.
Excuse me. Anthony is a tribute artist, but we'll just call him Elvis, you know? That's so, last night we went to eat at the Mexican restaurant, and just, there's a mariachi band. And when they realized who I had, in my party, they start singing the Elvis song, a mariachi band. You're picturing this. And they're singing Love Me Tender. And Elvis kicks in.
It happened.
But it did happen. But what was even better than that was when they said, what song would you – the first one you wanted to sing was Teddy Bear. Mm-hmm. And so, here we are. I know it's a cappella, but my audience needs to hear Teddy Bear because, from Elvis.
Can you give – I can try.
All right, let's go.
I just eat all that barbecue and everything.
That's all right. Here we go. For Jesus.
Oh, baby, let me be your loving teddy bear. Oh, put a chain around my neck and lead me anywhere. Oh, let me be your teddy bear.
Right there on Kingdom Pursuits. And isn't it cool how God has taken you on such adventures with this, what's it called, artist?
Tribute artist.
Tribute artist.
Yes.
With tribute artistry.
Yes. I've been very blessed and fortunate. I am from Las Vegas, Nevada, called a little place called Henderson. It's 20 miles south of the Strip. And I actually just got started, really, in full-time blown in 1996, and I did a little gig called The Taste of Powder Springs, and next thing I know, People were wanting my autograph and this and that, and they asked me to jump up on stage. I did two songs. The guy handed me $50. Next thing you know, I'm like, hey man, can I do it again? And he says, yeah. And I said, all right. And we just got started from there. And I've never had voice lessons or anything. I'm just self-taught and everything. I just listened to Elvis and was in awe of his
talent. But just this year, you were with Tony Orlando.
Yes, yes. We just did a benefit for Tony Orlando and T.G. Shepherd and Jamie Jameson, Kelly Lang, Mark Swanson that wrote Suspicious Minds. They called me up on stage to open the show for – we did a benefit for Joe Esposito, which was Elvis's longtime road manager. His wife had just passed away with a rare cancer. And I'll be darned, we raised him like $100,000.
I mean, that's what I was wanting to say. Tell the listeners how you saw God move in that event. You know, there it is. I mean, God gives him a passion for Elvis, and he also has a passion. If you were to sit with Anthony for any length of time, it wouldn't take you long to figure out that this is a man of God who
loves
the Bible.
First and foremost, I have been very blessed, and my passion has always been, I try daily to put Christ first in any and all things I do. He tells us, you know, in Matthew 5:16, he says, to let your little light shine so before men that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And that's what I want to be all about. And I want someone to say, you know what? He may be a singer or this and that, but he puts God first. He's going to have God first. As far as him and his house, we serve the Lord. There's no ifs, ands, two ways about it. And that's why I'm so blessed. So blessed that it's just, I just got to give my Lord and Savior all honor and glory and the praise from this day forward until eternity. And the ultimate healing is absent from the body is present with my Savior. So thank you very much.
I'm getting all shook up.
Me too.
So tell us about your friend here that you brought with you.
Yes, yes, yes. This is Michael Polk, ladies and gentlemen. Great man of God. He has been around for a long time. Actually, he grew up with our pastor, Daryl T. Jones, right here at Sweetwater Baptist Church.
Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom today. I apologize, we lost power there, but we're at the Sweetwater Baptist Church having the sweetest car show ever here in Douglasville, Georgia, and where they've taken cars and turned it into an amazing event for Jesus. But we apologize, somehow or another the breaker broke on our remote equipment, and we lost power there for a minute, but we got it back on.
Right on.
And right when we were going to hear from Michael. So, Michael, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So we heard that you're the brother, I mean that you've known Pastor Daryl for a long time, but tell us your role here in this event.
Well, I don't know that I have a role. I just like cars and motorcycles and people, so I show up and do what I can.
How about your role here at the church?
You know, I just love the Lord, you know, and just do what I can to share that love, you know, and not worthy of his love and compassion and mercy, and but grateful for it, and try to love and be compassionate and merciful to others.
So how long have you been coming to Sweetwater?
Probably 2.5-3 years now.
So about ever since Daryl got here?
About the same time, yeah.
And so what have you seen God do that just kind of blew you away since you've been here?
Oh, man, it's the church has just exploded since I've been here. You know, the heartbeat of the church is what impresses me. We've had 4 weddings since I've been here, and every couple that has got married has wanted the pastor to preach the gospel during their service and give an invitation. and all four weddings folks have got saved. And that just blows me away.
Wow. You
know, I mean, you just, you know, it's unheard of, really. But it's just the heartbeat of the church.
And like, that is that, and it's the same thing. When we do a car show, we're gonna share the gospel, and we're gonna have an invitation here in a minute, and that's part of what the heartbeat of this one is.
Right.
And it's obvious from all that they do. Well, we're also joined today by Darlene.
Yes.
Darlene, could you pull your microphone up in front of your mouth? There you go. That way we can hear you.
And so, okay. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. So, Darlene, tell us about your role here at Sweetwater.
Oh, well, I do a whole bunch of different stuff. I'm the Sunday school director, but I'm also one of the leaders in Word of Life. I've always worked in children's ministry. I was raised with my grandfather's best friend being our preacher, so there was never an option of, do you want to serve? We always just approached it from a position of yes. So anytime that anything has gone in front of me, I just prayed, Lord, if you don't want me to do this, then block it. And there's been several different things that I really wanted to do that God shut the door on, and I knew that he did. So, but if he doesn't say no, then I do.
So I can't help but note that you have a Harley Davidson shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
So what's behind that?
Well, I got a Harley over yonder.
Oh, you do?
Yes. Yeah, it's the one with the sidecar. Yeah,
you're the one. And I was expecting Colonel Klink to be over there.
No, it looks like a George Jetson sidecar.
That's your bike. I didn't see you drive up on it. I mean, that's cool.
My husband bought it for Valentine's Day for me about 5 years ago. And, that's mine. Her name is Maybelle.
And so who rides in the sidecar?
My daughter is around here somewhere, and she rides in the sidecar.
You know, I've ridden a lot of motorcycles, but I've never ridden one with a sidecar. What's the secret?
It's learning to steer instead of lean. I've rode motorcycles my whole life, and it took a minute to be able to figure out that in the curves you have to steer, you cannot lean. And the first curve that I took was almost a disaster, but it was a big learning experience.
It's a cool bike. There's no doubt about that. Well, what's the, you know, in your time here, how long have you been at Sweetwater?
Oh, I don't know, 10, 11 years, something like that. My husband, this is where he's gone to church since he was before he was born.
So in all that, is there a particular thing that you've seen happen that you just sense, wow, God, this just is amazing? Tell me about that.
Yeah, you know, I was here when the previous pastor here, Brother Brian Alexander, and I loved him to death. But when he left, there were some hard times. We got down to probably 40 people were coming to the church faithfully. And I was one of them, and you know, I was kind of despairing. I was thinking, you know, there's so many churches that are just giving up and shutting the doors, and you know, where is this community going to be if they lose this one?
And from what I understand, you only had like one child in the youth program at that point.
Yeah, I don't know that we could really call it a youth program because they didn't come regular. Then God sent Brother Darrell, and it's funny because when the pastor search committee got together to vote, they were like, when they got together and they said, you know, look, before we do anything else, you know, I need to tell you something. You know, this is on my heart. This one person is on my heart, and I just think really strongly that this is where God's leading us. And there was five people on the committee, and every one of them said, is it Darrell Jones? And it was a unanimous yes.
Which changed everything.
And
so there
did.
You go. Well, thank you so much for listening today. We appreciate your patience with us as we lost power. But we're having a lot of fun out here in Douglasville, Georgia. How does God take your passion and use it to build the kingdom this week? Step up with him, and you could go on an amazing adventure, maybe on a Harley with a sidecar. Who knows?